शांत स्वामिनि तिनामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधरा शिवासादि गौरभक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे वेयर फ्रॉम भगवद गीता एनीवेयर एनीवेयर What shall we read? Can't see properly. Anybody has any shloka to read from? Can't see properly. From 15th chapter, sloka 16. Dva imau purushau loke ksharascha ksharaye vacha ksharah sarvani bhutani kutastva kshara uchyate. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation, there are two classes of beings, the fallible and the infallible. In the material world, every living entity is fallible, and in the spiritual world, every living entity is called infallible. Purport. As already explained, the Lord in His incarnation as Vyasadeva compiled the Vedanta Sutra. Here, the Lord is giving in summary the contents of the Vedanta Sutra. He says that the living entities who are innumerable can be divided into two classes, the fallible and the infallible. The living entities are eternally separated parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When they are in contact with the material world, they are called Jiva Bhuta. And the Sanskrit words given here, Kshara Sarvani Bhutani, mean that they are fallible. Those who are in oneness with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, are called infallible. Oneness does not mean that they have no individuality, but there is no disunity. They are all agreeable to the purpose of the creation. Of course, in the spiritual world, there is no such thing as creation. But since the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as stated in the Vedanta Sutra, is the source of all emanations, that conception is explained. According to the statement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, there are two classes of living entities. The Vedas give evidence of this. So there is no doubt about it. The living entities who are struggling in this world with the mind and the five senses have their material bodies, which are changing. As long as the living entity is conditioned, his body changes due to contact with matter. Matter is changing, so the living entity appears to be changing. But in the spiritual world, the body is not made of matter, therefore there is no change. In the material world, the living entity undergoes six changes: birth, growth, duration, reproduction, then dwindling and vanishing. These are the changes of the material body. But in the spiritual world, the body does not change. There is no old age. There is no birth. There is no death. There all exists in oneness. Kshara sarvani bhutani. Any living entity who has come in contact with matter, beginning from the first created being, Brahma, down to a small ant, is changing its body. Therefore, they are all fallible. In the spiritual world, however, they are always liberated in oneness. Om Tat Sat. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki. श्रीमद् भगवत गीता की नित्य गौर प्रेमानंदे सो कृष्णा हियर इन दिस चैप्टर द योगा ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सन इज गिविंग अस एन आइडिया इन द श्लोका अबाउट द स्पिरिचुअल वर्ल्ड एंड inviting us to that class of existence. The next sloka says, besides these two, there is the greatest personality, the Supreme Soul, the imperishable Lord Himself, who has entered the three worlds and is maintaining them. Dvavimau purushau loke ksharascha akshare evacha. That there are two classes of beings. Kshara sarvani bhutani kutastam akshara uchyate. That in this material world, everybody is kshara, fallible. And kutastam akshara uchyate, that in the spiritual world, everybody is perfect, infallible. So it's interesting that Krishna is indicating to us spiritual nature and the material nature. And although the spirit soul is perfectly situated in his nature as spirit, he has accepted this material situation out of his own choice. And he remains attached to the material world. While simultaneously, at the same time, there is existence in the spiritual realm where there are countless jivas, countless spirit souls in existence, in association with the Lord, in their original constitutional position. So this is interesting information. That there is existence of another realm. And there is kutastam akshara uchyate. A whole manifestation. So this material world is called ekpada vibhuti. One-fourth. Tripada vibhuti is the spiritual realm. And as much as there are living entities here, there are so many more living entities who are situated in their original position in the spiritual world. And Krishna is explaining that to us. Yad gatvana nivartante taddhama paramam mama. And he says that once you come to that world of mine, then you don't have to come back here again. Avyakta, he calls that avyakta, and he calls this vyakta, manifested and unmanifested in this material world. And he said, if you come to that particular region, you don't have to come to this again. And he's inviting us, giving us an invitation to come to the spiritual realm. By qualifying ourselves for it. So, somebody gives an invitation, normally we honor it. In the normal affairs in the social world, people call us to their houses. In India, you often have griha pravesham, you have marriage invitation, you have sons upanayanam invitation. You have all sorts of invitations coming to you. If you don't keep up that invitation, you're not considered to be very decent. Means that if you don't come for my daughter's wedding, I come and invite you. You don't come for my daughter's wedding. It's not nice. Social etiquette demands that you come there and show your presence, give a gift and say, I'm here at your daughter's wedding. You invited me. Of course, in India people go because the others wouldn't come for their daughter's wedding, so they have to go. Just in case that, you know, my daughter's wedding doesn't have any attendance properly. Anyway, this is the way it is, that we keep up some social custom. But we don't keep up this custom of giving Krishna our presence. Krishna is inviting us. We don't really take it very seriously because we may not even believe in it, that there is something called the spiritual world, that there is a reality existing there. We may know facts. We may even know the Bhagavad Gita. We may even know that there is such an existence. But deep inside, we reserve our own right of committing ourselves to that reality. We may speak about it and we may not even actually be believing in it with full conviction. There's a conversation of Prabhupada with the devotees, I think at the initial stages in America. And he is, I sort of remember it, I don't know the details of it. And he is walking and they are following him and he's saying, "Swamiji, we attended yesterday another Swamiji's session." Somebody. And Prabhupada is not replying, not saying anything. He's just saying a mild "mm." And then after walking for some time, Prabhupada is saying, "So what did he say?" And they're also taking time to answer that. Then they say that he spoke about the spiritual world. Then Prabhupada immediately says, "So what do you think about it?" So then after a long halt, they say, "We are not very convinced." Then Prabhupada turns around immediately and says, "And that's because he does not believe in the spiritual world." And then Prabhupada moves around and starts talking about how Krishna is speaking about it, etc. So there are many people who speak about this. Kutastham aksharam uchyate. But what is their conviction? How much do they believe in it? How much do they walk that type of a talk? That's interesting to know. Srila Prabhupada, he said, Krishna, spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, and he had us believe in it. Commit ourselves, give our life, and even follow those instructions. And Prabhupada kept telling us right up to the end that if you follow this, you'll go back to Godhead. He had a whole movement based on people accepting his instructions and being told that you will go back to Godhead. And we all believe in it. We believe in that. We're chanting Hare Krishna, serving Krishna, we'll become purified and we will go back to Godhead. It's an amazing movement if you come to think of it. It's a movement based on transferring you, transporting you back to the spiritual world. It's a whole movement based on that. Rarely you will find people giving you this type of a promise and people buying into it. So, kutastham aksharam uchyate. It's true. And Prabhupada has explained to us, this is how it is in the spiritual world. Krishna is there with his cows and calves and the gopas and gopis and Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai, the pastimes of the Lord, etc., etc. So it's a fact, and we are following that, and in our mind, in our conviction, we are hoping that we will go back to Godhead. Isn't it? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah. If you ask any Hare Krishna devotee, he speak about this. He speak about the spiritual world, and these people watch. Even in India, you really think that's true? You really think that's true? So, it's important. Prabhupada started a whole movement that you come in as a devotee and then you go out to the spiritual world. And there are examples of Dhruva Maharaj going to the spiritual world. There's Ajamila actually going back. He chanted Narayana's name and people came from the spiritual world and took him back. So you read all these things. It's a fact. So our conviction has changed so much. In the normal world, people really don't know what's going to happen to them. They don't even know what happens to them after death. They don't even know anything about their material life properly. But Prabhupada came and he gave us this great understanding. And he was, by his potency, able to make people believe in a spiritual world, in Krishna, the existence of the Supreme Lord, and then even a pathway, how to go back there. So Prabhupada's movement is not an ordinary movement. Just to come to think of it, it takes people back to the spiritual world. And even now, people are chanting Hare Krishna, they are leaving their bodies in the holy dham with devotees around them, and they go back peacefully. We believe in that. So it's not fiction anymore. Just like these two individuals were talking to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada told them he doesn't believe in the spiritual world. He's not able to convince you that there is a spiritual realm and we belong to that realm. Mamaivamsa jivaloke jivabhuta sanatanaha manah shashtan indriyani prakritistani karshati. In this material world, we are struggling, grappling with the material existence, with the reality, so-called reality. But it's true, and we've all given our life and existence on the basis of that truth. So kutastham aksharam uchyate. And that's why so many wonderful examples of devotees who go back to Godhead mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Liberation, going back to Godhead. So it is no more something that we need to think of, consider, prove. The devotee's simple faith in the words of Krishna, given in the Bhagavad Gita, that gives him a very high destination. So Krishna consciousness actually means that we are transporting ourselves from a material consciousness to a spiritual consciousness. And in the spiritual realm, we are existing in oneness, in the same interest of the Supreme Lord. As mentioned here very nicely, distinguishing oneness. Because the Mayavadi is an impersonalist, they have a different faith and belief. Their faith and belief is that at the end we merge into that oneness and become one with it. Prabhupada is making a distinction. No, you retain your individuality, you go and join the Supreme Lord, and the Lord has got his own individuality, and the Lord and the living entity have their relationship and they live in loving reciprocation. Eternally. This is described very nicely. So, although impersonalists, Mayavadis, Brahmavadis, all of them have this understanding, and it's the most popular understanding in India, that the spiritual realm means we merge into it, we lose our identity, and we become one with Brahman. And the meaning and the fundamental idea of liberation is very different. Muktir hitvan yatharupam swarupena vyavastiti. Mukti, liberation means achieving your original constitutional position. Swarupena vyavastiti. So Prabhupada is being asked once in a public lecture, after giving a session, he is being asked, "So are you liberated?" And Prabhupada is answering that by saying, "I may not be liberated, but since I am strictly following the instructions of a liberated person, my Guru, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, therefore I am liberated," is given this very beautiful answer. "Since I am following the instruction of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who I know for sure is a liberated person, therefore I am liberated." And the person remained very satisfied. I was personally present in a very big program before I joined the movement in Bombay, where a Mayavadi guru in a campus with college students, he was given a session because one of the department heads knew him. And the way he spoke for so long, the students were so, you know, bored, because he was speaking about liberation and the eternal light and merging into it and so many technical stuff. They were just waiting for the session to finish. And towards the end, this man, this yogi, he asked the question, "Any questions you have?" And the people just ruffling their feet, they just want to get out from the hall. It's just because the department head has arranged it, we have to attend it. They were attending. And then one of them, who was a very, mischievous guy, he raised his hand and said, "Are you liberated?" He asked this question. I remember this. "Are you liberated?" And the man immediately said, "Yes, I am liberated." Then this boy immediately said, "We are all liberated." And he walked out. And all of them laughed. They all laughed. And this guy was just standing and everybody was walking out. So much for his whole talk on liberation. If you are liberated, we are all liberated. Forget it. They walked out. In comparison to that, when I heard that Prabhupada said this, "I may not be liberated," from what he spoke very pointedly, "but I am following a liberated person strictly, therefore I am liberated." What a realistic answer. Still maintaining the conviction that I am liberated. This person, this Mayavadi guru, did not know how to really explain liberation. He has no conviction about it. And he is not really experiencing that liberation. See? But Prabhupada kept saying many times that a person engaged in the eternal service of the Lord is liberated. He said he is liberated. So, a pure devotee of the Lord, he has the right understanding of what is the spiritual realm, what it means to be liberated, and what does liberation entail. It means loving devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what we are all being trained to do. We may be in the sadhana stage. Sometimes the so-called spiritual activity is a burden. Sometimes it's very relishable. But in that stage, we don't know what an important event that is for the spirit soul, that he is rehearsing his activity in the spiritual realm. That's why the importance of Prabhupada's telling us, giving us these instructions should be understood. There was a disciple of Ramanuja called Pillai Uranga Villidasan. He was shortly called Dasarathi. Very famous, you must read some of his pastimes. So Ramanuja was giving a whole session on Ramayana. And in the Ramayana session was a very important pastime. Many great acharyas have commented on that. On Vibhishna leaving Ravana and coming to Lord Ramachandra. Vibhishna took a very bold decision to leave Ravana after his fight with Ravana And here was Lord Ramachandra with all his Vanara kingdom, I mean Vanara army, and there was Angada, there was Hanuman, there was Jambavan and everybody. He was discussing strategy with the leaders. How we shall attack, what shall we do, how we cross the ocean, etc., etc. And Vibhishana came with two of his followers and he appeared there. It's mentioned he suspended himself in the sky and he was there in front of Lord Ramachandra, asking Lord Ramachandra, can I join you? I have given up Ravana's association, I have decided to join you. And then as soon as Lord Ramachandra heard this, he was actually very happy inside. But externally, he, as a mode of caution, he immediately turned to Jambavan, to, you know, other monkey leaders and asked them, so what shall we do? Here is an offer from Vibhishana. He didn't take a decision and say, okay, come on, join up immediately. He immediately turned around and asked his leaders, so this is Vibhishana's offer. So that's a description of each person speaking to Ramachandra. You know, Sugriva is saying one thing. He said, no, how can we trust this person? He's the brother of Ravana. I'm sure Ravana has sent him here as a spy. He's going to join us and find out everything about us, and then he will be a, you know, great hindrance to our victory. Then other person, yeah, of course, no chance. How can you trust an asura like him? You simply cannot trust him. He's like this, he's like this, he's like that. The last who gave his opinion was Hanuman. And these opinions are very wonderful. They are analyzed, each one of them, by great acharyas. Hanuman is the only one who differed from everybody else. Hanuman, you know, was inclined to accept Vibhishana. So he understood what Ramachandra was thinking inside. And he, being a great devotee, he sort of willingly said, I think we should take him in. The man has taken such a big decision to be with the good side of it. And hearing all this talk given by Ramanuja, this Pullai Oranga Villidasan, he suddenly got up, dusted his backside. He was one of Ramanuja's main disciples. Dusted his backside and started murmuring, impossible, no hope. Dusted, he was just moving out of the whole assembly. Then Ramanuja asked him, wait, where are you going? Then he turned around and said, what hope I have? Here is Vibhishana. He is willing to give up everything and he has come to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ramachandra, and he is asking you to take me. And Ramachandra is consulting everybody, should I take him or not? And what about me? I'll never get back to Godhead. I'll never be accepted. If this is the situation with Vibhishana, whom we all know as such a great devotee, what to speak of me? I am going. He was just moving off. Then Ramanuja said, no, you don't understand. Wait. Ramachandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has to do this. Because he is the Supreme Godhead. He is asking Hanuman, he is asking all his great devotees. But I am coming in the line, the Sri Vaishnava line. I don't have to ask anybody, I will take you back to Godhead. I don't have to ask. I'm not in the position like Lord Ramachandra. I am not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am authorized to take you back to Godhead. It's different. Lord Ramachandra had to consult because there's a whole protocol and he has to. And he wanted to come out of Hanuman's mouth. And Hanuman is saying so. And then Lord Ramachandra will take a decision that yes, I like to accept him. But Ramanuja was saying, I am not in that position. I am not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I can take you back to Godhead. In this way, Prabhupada, he was such an empowered person that if we simply followed, coming in the parampara, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada has told us that if you do this, 1, 2, 3, I'll take you back to Godhead. This is truth. Just like Ramanuja is saying, I can take you back to Godhead. I don't have to do the same things that Lord Ramachandra did. So the devotee, the representative of the Lord, he is powerfully empowered to actually take people back to Godhead. And Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada is a person who is authorized to take people back to Godhead in the same way by the strength of his representation. By the powerful strength of his representation. That's why you can keep in Prabhupada's words, in Prabhupada's books, everywhere, he keeps talking about going back to Godhead, which is the real reality. The others don't speak about it. They don't know much about it, and they don't have that conviction either. It's easier to talk about merging into the Lord. It is so vague, you can explain it in so many different ways. There's no reality connected to it in one sense. So we must understand the importance of how Prabhupada has laid it out and had us chant Krishna's names. Follow these simple instructions given by Krishna. And he made all these instructions possible with the way he has explained it. There's no gray area anywhere. If we do that, if we have faith in Krishna and if we follow it, kutastham aksharam uchyate, you can't go back to Godhead. It's not something difficult. Prabhupada said, what is the difficulty? It's truth. So these are very wonderful instructions. And these are true. And they can be realized. That is the hope of the devotee. The devotee is always happy in the service of the Lord. And he can very easily extrapolate that and understand that I'm serving here, I'll be serving there too. This is the reality. And while he is serving here, gradually he becomes fixed. Sadakanam ayam premnaha pradur bhave bhavet kramaha. Krama, kramena, gradually he becomes fixed in that understanding. This is a beautiful process that Prabhupada has given us. And in the Bhagavadam describes that this Bhakti Yoga process is easy. That the Navayogendras are explaining to King Nimi. There's one shloka, I forget the shloka. It says that naskale na patet iha, that this process is so wonderful, if you close your eyes and run, you will not trip, you will not fall. You will not trip if you not fall. The process of bhakti yoga is like that. So therefore, we as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, followers of Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, we all have this very simple conviction that by following Srila Prabhupada and following his instructions, we will actually be going back to Godhead. We will actually be Haribol. So this is no ordinary thing. So the Vedic literature is replete with these type of instructions. And great Vaishnava Acharyas, they have all come and mentioned the same thing. Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashyanti Surayah Divi Vichakshur Atatam Tat Vipraso Vipinyavo Jagruvagum Sasamindate Vishnur Yat Paramam Padam. The goal of life is to achieve the lotus feet of the Lord. And they make it possible by their instruction, by their own conduct and behavior. They make it a reality. It's very rare that great personalities would come and would show us this particular type of path and make us believe in it. So Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, all of them showed people the way. Kutastham aksharam uchyate. So this is important for us to know. That's why the Lord is manifesting his pastimes through his devotees. And those great personalities, they establish a whole institution the whole sampradaya, and there are so many wonderful temples built by them. Like Ramanuja's time, Srirangam and Varadaraja Perumal, all these great temples. In those temples, the devotees had very close relationship with the deities of the Lord. And Ramanuja, especially when he was there, he established close communion and he involved many of his devotees directly to experience the spiritual realm. There was this, before Ramanuja's appearance itself in Srirangam, there were many great devotees who appeared in the past, all the great Alvars that we know of. And there was this great instance of Ramanuja when he was young. He had his guru Yadava Prakash. Yadava Prakash was Mayavadi guru. But Ramanuja, he took instructions from him. And repeatedly he questioned Yadava Prakash on all these fundamental aspects. Whenever Yadava Prakash would say something that was against his understanding, he would question. He was a very active student, much different from all the others. Very closely rendered service to his guru and then asked these deep questions. And Yadava Prakash could see that my disciple Ramanuja is very special. Everything I say, he asks these questions so deeply and he gives his possible explanation and he questions my explanation. He knew that this person is very different from my other students. But he couldn't digest the fact that Ramanuja always questioned his Mayavadi concept and Siddhanta and challenged it very subtly. So it so happened that his disciples and him together went on a pilgrimage, and in the pilgrimage some of his close disciples and himself together, they had this plan of getting rid of Ramanuja. And in the middle of the night one day, Ramanuja's brother Govinda, he came and woke Ramanuja in the middle of the night when they had camped somewhere and told him, "Brother, you wake up. I think there is a plot to actually do away with you. You must leave the place immediately. Do something about it. I've heard of this directly. They're going to do something to you," his disciples. I mean, his so-called godbrothers. So Ramanuja, actually very young, he got up and then he was asked by his brother to disappear quickly. And so he ran into the forest, into the middle of the forest, completely dense, you know, dark, and he fell down, tripped over vines, and he just didn't know what he was doing. He just ran. He was young and afraid. he ran into the forest, and then all of a sudden he came into a clearing, very well lit clearing, and there was a forest path. And in the path he saw a hunter with a bow and arrow, a quiver of arrows and bow. And then along with him, a beautiful lady and a monkey running around, jumping here and there as he was walking. And Ramanuja came upon them and said, "I actually lost my way. Can I get some help to just find out a way?" And this hunter asked him, "So who are you, young boy? What are you doing in the middle of the forest?" So young Ramanuja said that he didn't speak about this guru and this what happened to me, they're trying to kill me, nothing. Immediately he decided I should not speak about it, it's not proper. So he said, "I just lost my way, we all came together. I lost my way in the night. So I'm upon this. And who are you? You look you look so wonderful, you remind me of Lord Ramachandra." This hunter. So he said, "Really? Who is this Ramachandra?" "See, you don't know Ramachandra?" This young Ramachandra says, "You don't know Ramachandra? Everybody knows Ramachandra." "I don't know, can you tell me about him?" Then they walked and said, "I'll show you the way, but you must tell me about Ramachandra." And his wife also lady said, yes, yes, you must tell us about Ramachandra. And so he spoke the whole Ramayana. Ramanuja, young Ramanuja said, you know, Ramachandra was like this, he is, you know, King Dasharatha's son, and this happened, that happened. And all along the way, he gave them a brief overview of Lord Ramachandra's pastime. And then it was almost dawn, sun rising, and they arrived at a beautiful place. And then this lady said, I can't walk anymore, I need to drink some water, I'm thirsty. So this elderly hunter, he said, I will get you some water, please wait here. And Ramana said, no, no, you don't have anything container with you, I carry with me my brahmachari kit. I have a, you know, small lota in it. I will get you water. You please wait here. Both of you have saved me, given me a direction. You wait here, let me do this seva for you. I will get some water from the nearby well. I can see people are, you know, taking water from the well. You please wait here. And he ran to bring water. And he went to the well, he inquired, which is this place? And then they told him, this is Kanchipuram. Then he said, oh really? But I thought I left it thousands of miles away, and we have been traveling with my guru and everything for so long. We came back to the place. And then he took water immediately. He was a little surprised, and he went to give the water, and both of them had disappeared. There was neither hunter, nor that lady, nor the monkey. They had gone. Then Ramanuja all of a sudden felt very sad. Oh, I wanted to do this seva. I wanted to help them. I wanted that lady to drink a little water from my hands. So he says, okay, anyway. And he went back to the well and he found out where is so-and-so place, and he went and he found refuge with a great devotee. He was a great servant of Varadaraja, Varadaraja Perumal. If you visited Kanchipuram, it's a very beautiful temple. And Varadaraja Perumal is where Ramanuja got a lot of instructions. So there was this wonderful devotee whom he associated with. And that devotee, he was called some Nambi, I forget. He had an amazing rapport with the deity, with Varadaraja. That he would every day fan the Lord. And he was so close to the Lord that he could ask Varadaraja questions. You've seen Varadaraja Perumal, he is like a Vishnu lying down. Very big deity. And he would ask questions and Varadaraja would answer. This Ramanuja, he started serving this devotee because he was naturally attracted to him. And he took instructions from him. He would ask so many questions. And he was so happy to answer the young Ramanuja. And one day Ramanuja asked him, can you also ask the Lord, what is my seva that I could do? And he was saying, definitely I'll do that. Today, early in the morning, I'll be finishing my service and I will ask him. So it's mentioned that every day this Nambi would Tirukachi Nambi Kanchipurna. It was Kanchipurna. So he would, another name for him was Kanchipurna, would fan the Lord, and then he would ask so-and-so devotee wants to know like this, like that, and the Lord would answer. He was so close to the Lord. So that evening, late, after asking many questions, finally he said, there is this devotee Ramanuja, you know. He asked a question. And then it's mentioned that Varadaraja started smiling as soon as Ramanuja's name was mentioned. And he said, yes, I know him very well. What about him? And his Kanchipurna said that, he is such a wonderful devotee of yours. He wants to know from you what his service would be. And then Varadaraja smiled further and said, "Yes, I will be very happy if he brings for Lakshmi water from a place which she likes very much from. There is a well which Ramanuja knows. If he can bring water from there every day for her, she will be very happy and bestow her blessings on him." And then Kanchipurna was very happy. And in the morning when he came out of the sanctum, there was Ramanuja already waiting. He had taken his bath. He had, chanted. And he was waiting and saying, "What does the Lord say?" And Kanchipurna was so happy. "So you're already here. I'm waiting whole night. I have not slept. I'm waiting what the Lord would say." He was so eager to hear. So Kanchipurna explained to him, "The Lord said you know about a well and you can bring water from there." And he named that well. It was that same well where they both disappeared. The hunter and wife, before drinking the water, said, "You know the well and you can bring water from there." So Ramanuja started crying, remembering and understanding that that Varadaraja had actually come as Lord Ramachandra when he was in the forest and actually shown him the way. And that Ramanuja was feeling, "I was not able to give the water." And he connected him back again and saying, "You can every day give water." Made that a service. So Ramanuja shed copious tears and said, "See." And he explained to Kanchipurna, "This is what happened. I didn't tell anybody. And now I can understand that it was the same Lord who came as Lord Ramachandra. And he asked me to explain the whole Ramayana. It was Lord Ramachandra who heard the whole Ramayana from Ramanuja. He understood." And he was so happy to do that seva of bringing water every day and giving it to Lakshmi, who came there as Sita. In this way, powerful, great acharyas, they made their pastimes in such a way that we could get into it and accept the reality of a spiritual realm. Krishna is mentioning, "Bhaktiya mam abhijanati yavanyaschashma tatvata tato mam tatvato jnatva vishate tad anantaram." Vishate tad anantaram. That only my devotee knows me, and he enters into my pastimes. He can enter into me. And Prabhupada speaks there, I think in the same purport, saying that a devotee does not live in the material world. He lives in Krishna. He lives in Krishna. So we know from the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada that Prabhupada was always so deeply Krishna conscious, and that he was grave and he was deeply absorbed, and whenever anybody interacted with him, they got a whiff, they got an experience of Krishna by his association. And by following his direction also, we can enter into the realm of Krishna. That's why all these great personalities, they should be served. Their order should be followed. That's our hope. If their order is followed, then we will be on the path of perfection. Because like I was mentioning in the morning, Krishna has outsourced his mercy coming through all these great personalities. The same Kanchipurna, he was fanning the Lord and asking these questions regularly. He had the right to enter the sanctum, because even the pujaris and everybody knew Kanchipurna has come, he has a right to go, he talks to the Lord and he has got a special relationship. On one of those rare occasions, Kanchipurna fanning the Lord, because he has got so much closeness and liberty with the Lord. He thought in his mind one day, I am asking all these questions for everybody. I have not really asked anything about my own spiritual requirement. So he had adjusted himself that day to ask the Lord about himself. So with great difficulty he cleared his throat and my Lord, I want to ask you a very personal question today. And the Lord mentioned, yes, go ahead. And Kanchipurna again adjusted himself and said, I'm just wanting to know about me and when I will achieve your shelter. As soon as he had mentioned that, the Lord said, that of course is only meant for those who serve my devotees. What? For a moment, Kanchipurna stopped short and he said, what? And the Lord smiled. Then instantly, Kanchipurna understood that if you want my shelter and the supreme destination, Parampadam, you should go and serve my devotees. Only for those people it's reserved. Then immediately it's mentioned, Kanchipurna, really? He put the fan down and he went away. I didn't know this. And he went away and then he understood that, my gosh, I thought that this is what I'm going to be doing and I'm going to achieve perfection. But the Lord told him, that of course is meant for those who serve my devotees. In other words, you have to do that. I mean, it's not enough if you come and do this for me every day and talk to me. You may not get my supreme shelter so easily. I can talk to you, I can direct you, you can be the via media. But if you serve my devotees, they are the ones who will actually lead you to the supreme destination. Kanchipurna, oh, if that is the case, here it is. He dropped the fan and just left. Abruptly he left. He ran away. And he said, what have I been doing? And he went to another great Vaishnava, Perinambi. And he went to him immediately and said, I must do some seva to him. And he caught hold of a rickshawala who was every day taking very aged personality. Very great exalted Vaishnava. He said, I must do some seva to him immediately. What have I been doing? And then he told the rickshawala, listen, I'll give you the money. Today I will carry him. And don't tell him anything about it. Here is the money. Move off. I'll take your rickshaw on rent. I'll come and give it back to you. And he dressed and tied up his head. Concealed himself because he was such an exalted person. He didn't want anybody to know this. But I have to serve a Vaishnava in order to go back to Godhead. So he put on the disguise. And then he waited without Perinambi watching him. And then when he got inside, he started speaking to him and he was drawing him and he went, took him up to his destination and then he didn't want to show his face. And then he thought, what is this odd? Every day you would talk to me, this rickshawala would talk to me and I would talk to him and bless, he's not showing his, you know, this thing to me. So he moved around and saw, here is the money, but why are you not talking to me? And he saw, this is Kanchipurna. I said, what are you doing? Why did you come? And he explained to him, you see, this is what happened. I have to do seva to devotees. I didn't know this. I thought I am directly serving the Lord and I don't have to worry about it. So this is our great opportunity and chance that if we can serve Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada and his order, then we don't have to worry about many things. We don't have to worry about many things. We have to sincerely understand that these are not the orders just of another person. They are orders coming in the line from Krishna, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, all the great Acharyas, the Goswamis, coming in the line, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and appearing from the lotus mouth of Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chite Te Khoriya Akya Arana Koribo Asha. We don't have to have any other desire, but simply the desire to carry out the simple instructions given by His Divine Grace. He has asked us to distribute His books. He has asked us to preach the message of Krishna. He has asked us to wake up for Mangalarti and chant our japa. He has asked us to do quite possible things. It's not impossible. And many devotees are already doing it. It's not difficult to do. And if you do these things which are not impossible to do, we will be in great destination at the end of life. So all great acharyas, they paved the way. Prabhupada is explaining acharya parampara. This morning we heard Mataji reading out. This is the meaning of acharya parampara. Every acharya makes a contribution. And that those contributions are very unique. They are actually paving the way for the conditioned soul to go back to Godhead. And if we simply follow that, similarly, the acharya in this age, Srila Prabhupada, if his words are followed, and if we stick to those simple instructions, we are on our way back to Godhead. There's no doubt about it. Of course, there are many people saying many different things. In India, we have many people questioning us, and there's a lot of confusion sometimes amongst devotees who are very well educated and well read, or sometimes coming from very good, even Vaishnava families. There, I know of one devotee who was from a Madhva Sampradaya earlier. He, you know, became a devotee, he read Prabhupada's books, started chanting Hare Krishna, actually became a full-time devotee. And then he had this feeling that, see, I am a Madhva. I belong to the Madhva Sampradaya. And his whole Madhvaism woke up in him. And then I remember that he was going and attending some Madhva's lectures. In the evenings in the temple, he would disappear and he would come back. And over a period of time, he started repeatedly saying this, actually, I am a Madhva. I am a Madhva. And he had this big argument, Madhva say this, etc., etc. And I remember that we had an argument and one of the other devotees said, listen, Prabhu, I gave you books and I distributed. I remember at that time, you were no Madhva at that time. I know that you didn't even know. You were just doing all sorts of nonsense before. What Madhva? Your Madhva came after you read Prabhupada's books and started chanting Hare Krishna. I know that. We have all seen it. And why are you saying this again and again? It's because you're going listening to that person. And he's telling you all sorts of things that you are a Madhva, you should become a Madhva again. You should not, remain. He wants to take a full-time devotee on his side. So he will get some follower and he'll get somebody trained up by ISKCON to do some things maybe, I don't know. And this devotee, he was, very moved to become a Madhva. Somehow or the other, he stuck on after that and devotees preached to him. We have seen that again and again in South India. Sometimes the people from good families, they take up Krishna consciousness and all of a sudden they feel that why only this? Why not this? Etc. etc. But I belong to Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, I belong to Madhva Sampradaya. We have different type of challenge. Very wonderful devotees. Then we have to convince them that may be true. If Madhvacharya was here now, I'm sure he will say what you're doing is perfectly right. It is what I want to teach you if I was here now. I would ask you to join the Hare Krishna movement and follow that. There's no doubt about it. And of course there are also many Sri Vaishnava devotees and Madhva devotees in our movement who have no problem about chanting Hare Krishna, although they know that full philosophy nicely. And they utilize everything that they know and preach. You must chant the holy name and follow Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Harmonious. So in this day and age, it is Srila Prabhupada's words and Srila Prabhupada's instructions that are going to give us the highest destination. Om Tat Sat Srila Prabhupada Ki. Say 30. You said 7:30 to 8:30. I finished. Yeah? Yes. Sesha Prabhu.
No, thank you, Marsh. Wonderful lecture. How is it that we have so much faith in the reality of this material world, but so little faith in the reality of the spiritual world?
That's the unique characteristic of the conditioned soul. Sworn to this type of a reality. Krishna explains this to Uddhava in the 11th canto. He tells him that whatever you see in this material world, which you have accepted as a reality, is not real. It's not the reality. Because it is cut away from me. It has no association with me. So, material life means forgetfulness of Krishna. Krishna bhuliya bhogavancha gare japatiya maya dhare. That it's a choice of the stupid soul to forget Krishna and accept this as a reality. That's what is maya. That's what is illusion. And it looks real. It looks real. See, Prabhupada, there's another conversation of Prabhupada in America that he is being received very well. I think it's in a talk show or something else. Mayor receives him. And then he's garlanded and welcomed, and Prabhupada is very happy. He speaks and everything. And after that, although Prabhupada has said many things in the program, he criticizes modern civilization, this is everything, and still there, thank you very much for your talk, etc., etc. On the way back, Prabhupada is saying, after a little thought, he's saying, actually, they don't understand what I'm saying. If they understood, they'll kill me. Because it's so absorbing, this reality. That although Prabhupada is saying, you fool, you rascal, you that, you this, everything, we still thank you very much. Because, you know, you eat all the meat and all the type of life that you live in sense gratification. It's so absorbing, that reality, that so-called reality, so absorbing. The Prabhupada is saying that, I'm saying something completely against their existence. You know, and they don't understand, that's why they are still welcoming me and they don't understand what I'm saying. If they understood, they would, ooh, this is what you're trying to do, I'll finish you. They don't understand. So that's the nature of the world, that we are sworn to this reality. It's very sad that we have not woken up and we think that this is reality. So it's amazing. The illusion is so amazing. The more you think about it, the more, you know, you wonder, hey, why is it like that? When Krishna is telling Uddhava, whatever you're experiencing, don't have to take it very seriously. It's not true. It's not true. But we go through all those things. Anartha upasamo sakshat bhakti yogam adokshaje lokasya ajanato chakre satvata samhita. The Bhagavatam, first canto. He said, the living entity's sufferings and his enjoyments are completely external to him. They got nothing to do with him. And this the people don't know. Lokasya ajanato. Therefore, the learned Vyasa composed the Bhagavatam for them. So this is where we see the reality. In the Bhagavatam's pages, when we open, that's why we are asked to read and think about it constantly. Smaranityam anityatam. Constantly meditate on the temporary nature of the world. Smaranitya. Always think about the temporary nature of this existence. So that's how we live. That's a powerful force of Krishna's illusion, Maya. Mama Maya Duratyaya. So, moment to moment, we have to work to be Krishna conscious. And moment to moment, we have to remind ourselves and be in the real state. That's why chanting Hare Krishna constantly is very important. Continuously chanting Hare Krishna. Not only in the morning after Mangalarati, of course. Prabhupada has made sure that the basics you would do. But since we cannot do that constantly, we have services to do and we are engaged in many different ways. So that remembrance of Krishna, remembrance of the reality of the spiritual realm is constantly dawning upon us. These are all opportunities for us to keep in touch with the reality constantly. So that's the way our life is designed. And this is our duty. So when we constantly do that, by Krishna's mercy, by Prabhupada's mercy, we become eternally engaged in that reality. Om Tat Sat. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, I was thinking about the story you told of the devotee who was previously with the Madhav Sampradaya, and he suddenly came to realization now that he's Madhav. Also, it could have been told that in Navadvipa Mahatmya, Ramanujacharya and Madhavacharya, they also joined the Hare Krishna movement.
Yeah.
Because after having Darshan Mahaprabhu, they also came to Hare Krishna movement. So if he's really following Madhav, he can also stay still in Hare Krishna movement.
They don't accept that quotation from the scripture. They've read that and they get angry. Ooh, which scripture is it? Where is this from? It's not mentioned anywhere. Anyway, that doesn't matter, you see. That somehow Lord Chaitanya's followers are greatly blessed to have that conviction that Madhvacharya, Nimbarka Swami, all of them, Shankaracharya, everybody, they have connected with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we have that conviction by the blessing of Lord Chaitanya. So they may not. What to do? Okay? Any other question? Ready to open? What time opens? 10 minutes. Oh, okay. I thought 1 hour. Yes, any other question or comment, or we'll just do some Harinam? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the class. You were mentioning about Hanuman and how he was the last one that Lord Ramachandra asked about Vibhishan. Can you tell us anything of a few of the things that that Hanuman said, why he should, Lord Ram should accept Vibhishan?
I really don't know, don't remember the full detail.
I was just one other thing. I was just thinking that in when Hanuman was there on Lanka, he saw, there was different points where he saw that Vibhishan was trying to get Ravana to give Sita up. And that's part of it, right? So he had kind
That's one reason. But the Sri Vaishnava Acharyas have commented that Hanuman, he knew the heart of the Lord. And more than anybody else, he could understand that Lord Ramachandra has already decided to accept Vibhishana. And they say that this is the meaning of an Acharya. They use Hanuman as an example, say, the Acharya completely knows the Lord's heart. I mean, in the sense that what he desires is very deeply absorbed in it. So Hanuman was the one who supported Lord Ramachandra's deep internal desire to save Vibhishana, take him back, because he has come to surrender, whoever he may be, you see, whoever he may be. That Prabhupada quotes that shloka of Lord Ramachandra. What is it? Kaschit eva prapanno tava asmiti cha uchyate abhayam sarvabhute bhyo Dadami etam vratam mama. Even if once a person says, Tava asmiti, I am yours, my Lord. Even once he says that, Abhayam, I give him complete protection for the rest of his existence. He never has to fear. This is my vow. Dadami etam vratam mama, Lord Ramachandra says. So here is Vibhishana saying, I offer myself to you. I am an asura, whatever you may be. If you say once that to me, I am determined to protect you. This is Lord Ramachandra's vow. That if my devotee comes and says, I am yours, my Lord, then I protect him for good. So this is Lord Ramachandra's vow, and Hanuman knows about it. And so Hanuman instantly, you know, knew. That's the way it's explained. That's why, for your reference.
I'll make one comment, Maharaj.
Yeah.
This is one commentary I heard, that when Bhibhishan came to Lord Ramachandra's shelter, then actually Lord Ramachandra crowned him the king of Lanka right there.
Mm.
So all his ministers, they were a little upset. And they challenged Lord Ramachandra. They said, you have immediately, because he's taken shelter of you, you've made him king of Lanka. If Ravan came and took shelter of you, what would you do? And he said, I would make him king of Ayodhya. Let him first come and take shelter of me.
Really?
Yes. This is our Lord Ramachandra.
Wonderful. Okay. Hare Krishna, thank you, Srila Prabhupada ki.